What made you decide to title this collection The Book of Hours?
I guess I was thinking a lot about those wonderful books that people made, little devotionals in the Middle Ages and beyond, that had sort of the hours of the prayer and the day. I really was interested in that as an idea because I was trying to kind of capture, I suppose, a daybook of grief or a daybook of wonder in some ways.
The arc of this collection starts with grieving and loss and moves to birth and celebratory aspects of life. Would you read Bereavement?
Absolutely. Bereavement. Behind his house, my father's dogs sleep in kennels. Beautiful. He built just for them. They do not bark. Do they know he is dead? They wag their tails and head. They beg and are fed. Their grief is colossal and forgetful. Each day they wake seeking his voice, their names. By dusk they seem to unremember everything. To them, even hunger is a game. For that, I envy. For that, I cannot bear to watch them pacing their cage. I try to remember they love best confined space to feel safe. Each day, a saint comes by to feed the pair, and I draw closer at the shades. I've begun to think of them as my father's other sons, as kin, brothers in paw. My eyes each day thaw. One day, the water cuts off, then back on. They are outside dogs, which is to say healthy and victorious, purposeful, and one giant muscle, like the heart. Dad taught them not to bark, to point out their prey, to stay. Were they there that day? They call me like witnesses and will not say. I ask for their care and their carelessness, wish of them forgiveness. I must give them away. I must find for them homes, sleep restless in his. All night I expect they pace as I do, each dog like an eye roaming with the dead beneath an unlocked lid.
You couldn't adopt them.
I couldn't at that time. They went to good homes. But, you know, I was really trying to capture a metaphor for that feeling of bereavement and the way that dogs grieve, because I do think they experience feelings and loss in a way. It was so different and so beautiful and so instructive in some way. And also, you know, something that, I mean, I love that dogs aren't people. That's what's great about them. And they remind us of our humanity, but they also have their own, you know, dogginess that I think is so special. And just the way that they're in the moment, but also, you know, that idea of it being colossal, but also forgetful. They could kind of forget for a moment. And that, at least in those moments, is something I couldn't do. And so I was really interested in the whole book in trying to find metaphors in the experience of the days and hours and weeks and months after he died, the years, really. I hope that the book and other poems does that, too. And, for instance, there's a poem about trying to track down his dry cleaning, you know, which was true, but it also seemed to have this resonance of, you know, these empty suits, literally, which, you know, he once embodied and no longer did. How do you wrestle with that sort of everydayness of death?
Yes, and those seemingly simple objects, a pair of socks.
Absolutely.
Why is it that those simple things can elicit this emotional outpouring unlike you could ever imagine?
Well, I think we don't have the same rituals we once had. And so some of those things become a kind of ritual. For me, you know, tracking down his dry cleaning, going through his things, I think they take on significance, but they also are significant. They also are, that's what life is we measure it almost in these little moments. And so I was trying to, in the book, enact that, reenact it.
Would you read Expecting?
Sure. Expecting. Grave. My wife lies back, hands cross her chest, while the doctor searches early for your heartbeat, peach pit, unripe plum, pulls out the world's worst boombox, a Mr. Microphone, to broadcast your mother's lifting belly. The whoosh and bellows of mama's body, and beneath it, nothing. Beneath the slow stutter of her heart, nothing. The doctor trying again to find you, fragile fern, snowflake, nothing. After, my wife will say, in fear, impatient, she went beyond her body, this tiny room, into the ether. For now, we spelunk for you one last time, lost canary, miner of coal and chalk, lungs not yet black. I hold my wife's feet to keep her here, and me, trying not to dive starboard to seek you in the dark water. And there it is, faint, an echo, faster and further away than mother's, all beatbox and fuzzy feedback. You were like hearing hip-hop for the first time. Power hijacked from a lamppost, all promise. You couldn't sound better, breakdancer. My favorite song bumping from a passing car. You've snuck into the club underage and stayed. Only later, much, will your mother begin to believe you're drumming in the distance, our Kansas City and Congo Square, this jazz band vamping on inside her.
This is one of many references to music.
Certainly. Experiencing loss, I couldn't help but think of the tragic and the comic that is the blues. What Langston Hughes reminds us is laughing to keep from crying. And so there's always in these poems of little moments of humor, or which is sort of how you can get through. Part of the experience was the strange humor, the horrible things you have to, you know, laugh about. So for me, the music was a way of talking about that kind of rising action, making music from grief.
The last words here are, why not sing?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I think of that as a little motto or something, you know, let's sing a while and see where we can get to.